Right. I'm going to read off something Paul said to the Ephesians. The reason we want to read it out is to do with the church. So this is what it says. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Alright, so I want to talk, that's the piece of word of God that I want to talk about in a bit. Firstly, a Christian, right, is someone who believes that Christ died for the sins. So, what defines a Christian is what they believe, Christ died for the sins. But the primary thing that defines what a Christian is that they are somebody that is in Christ. A Christian is somebody that's in Christ. Are you getting Christ by? Hey, when you believe Christ died for your sins, and the Holy Spirit baptizes your spirit into Christ, and that is how the union is set up between your spirit and Christ. That union, according to Paul, in that piece of word of God, they said that union is a certain. It's got a certain nature. It's like a marriage union. When you believe Christ died for your sins, I've said to you, what the milk of the gospel is. And when Christ died for your sins, and when you believe that Christ died for your sins, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ. If that union was set up between you and Christ, between your spirit and Christ, Christ got your sin, and you got Christ's righteousness. Christ getting your sin, and you getting Christ's righteousness, that's the milk of the gospel. I've said that to you before. Yeah, the meat of the gospel is, when that union was set up, when you believe Christ died for your sins, then you died with Christ, got raised with Christ, and you put off your sinful flesh. I've told you that before, and that's the meat of the gospel. So, a Christian is someone who's in Christ. When the union was set up between your spirit and Christ, I've told you about the consequences that flow from that. The primary consequence is Christ got your sin, you got his righteousness, it's the milk of the gospel. Secondary consequence, you died with Christ, you got raised with Christ, you died to your flesh, that means your righteousness is sealed. So I've told you the primary and secondary consequences of you being baptized into Christ. What I want to say today is, when you are baptized into Christ, I want to talk about the nature of that union. So that union that was set up between your spirit and Christ, that union is a marriage union. And the piece of word of God that I just read out says that union is a marriage union. And what that means is there's a male part of the union and a female part. The male part is Christ, who's the head, and then the female part is the body. So the union that you have with Christ, he is the head, and the church, the body, and you are a member of that body. So Christ is your head. What I meant is, the union that got set up between Christ and the church is the Christ the head of the body, and the church is the body. So you have that union personally with Christ. And For males in the room that are, for males in the room, Christ is your personal head, and for females in the crew and married, Christ is the head of the husband, and the husband is the head of the wife. Right. The thing that I want to say is that in that union, the church part, that is you. The church part is subject to Christ. There's an order. What that means is that the church submits to Christ. And what that means for you, what that means for you is that your spirit submits to Christ. Okay? Your spirit submits to Christ, okay? This is what it says in Acts. Paul said, Peter said, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So Peter said that Jesus Christ was seated at the right hand of God, when he ascended into heaven after getting raised from the dead. Jesus being seated at the right hand of God means Jesus is submit to God. Now the church is submit to Christ. Your spirit is submit to Christ. So the centre of you is submit to Christ. The centre of you is submit to Christ. Christ is submit to God. It means the centre of you is submit to God. That's the thing that I want to say. You submit to God. Right? So I've explained how I got there, but your spirit submits to God. You have a body, soul, and spirit. Your soul inhabits your body. And if you think of the soul, think of the soul as a person, then the soul has a sense of the spirit, and then it has fits on the outside. That's your mind, will, and emotions. So the core of your soul is your spirit, and then on the outside, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then that makes up the soul, and that inhabits your body. So you have of your person, you have three parts. You have your body, you have the mind, will, and emotions, and then the centre of your soul is your spirit. Okay, so the centre of you is your spirit, which has been baptised into Christ, and what I've just showed you is that your spirit submits to Christ, just because you're in union with Christ, right? And Christ submits to God, your spirit submits to God. That's it. That is the thing I want to say. Your spirit submits to God. So it's not your spirit should submit to God, it's your spirit does submit to God. That's it. Your spirit submits to God. That's the thing that I want to tell you. Firstly, you're meant to know that your centre, the centre of you, submits to God. So I've already explained how you're righteous and you stay righteous. But Satan can argue, the stuff you do doesn't submit to God, you're not doing what God wants. Regarding your righteousness, I've already said your righteousness is sealed. But this piece of truth says your spirit submits to God. It doesn't try to submit to God, it just does. It is in submission to God. The spirit that died and got resurrected, and it got made in union with Christ, and it got put in a union. It got put in a union that has an order. Your spirit is subject to Christ. It doesn't try to be or should be, it just is. That is, the nature of your spirit is in subjection to Christ. Your spirit submits to Christ by nature. It does. And Christ submits to God. So, basically, Christ has done the hard work for you. Your sense, you being baptized into Christ, God has made your spirit submit to Him. Your center of you submits to God. God has made that happen. So you can have your opinion on whether the outsider you submits to God, but your center of who you actually are submits to God. Right, so I just want to tell you that that's truth in itself. But just like being baptized into Christ, it has consequences. Things flow from that. So I said, being baptized into Christ, what flows from that? Christ gets your sin, you get His righteousness. Okay, this truth about your spirit submits to God, you submit to God, things flow from that. You submit to God, okay, and the primary thing that flows from that is that your spirit wants to worship God. Like, now, which means, that means you want to worship God. And so you have to hear what I say clearly, like, I'm not saying you should worship God, right? Like, you can know what desires you have, like, two ways. The first way is, well, the way in the world is, like, I like beans on toast. I want to have beans on toast. So you can say, you know what your wants are, because you can sort of have a look what you like. That's one way of knowing what you want. Second way of knowing what you want is God, your creator, who was the one behind the design of your baptism into Christ and the one that controlled the whole thing of you being born again. You can hear what he has to say about the way he did it. And what he has to say is that he made your spirit submit to him. So from that flows a statement of truth that I am telling you, your spirit wants to worship God. So you don't, I'm not saying take it and do it. I'm just telling you about you. It's a bit of a weird thing. You normally know about you. You find out what you like to eat, stuff like that. You know about you. It's a bit weird if someone comes and tells you about you. But the word of God does tell you about you. And I am telling you that you want to worship God. Not that you should. Okay? There's two ways you can worship God. The primary way I've already talked about, Paul said, we are the true circumcision that worship God in spirit and in truth. The primary way of worshipping God is to stand upon the truth that you've been told about what happens to you when you believe Christ died for your sins, that you're righteous. To stand upon the righteousness of Christ. I'm not trying to get your own righteous. When you do that, Paul says, Paul said in Ephesians, the point of the church is to glorify God. When you stand upon your righteousness, the angels see you trusting in God's righteousness instead of your own righteousness, and God gets glorified that he made a man righteous that was sinful. God gets the glory, and God getting the glory is in a way you're worshipping God. That's the primary way you can do it. Okay, there is a secondary way you can worship God. And that is you can sing a song to God, right? Like, but I want to explain that thing. It's a completely alien thing for this meeting, but has been in the past. So I said to you, if God wants to introduce anything to this meeting, he will, but he's going to have to force it in because I can't do it. So some bread and wine popped up. Like, I've been told to play a song. I'm not playing this. I've got a song recorded, like, that I recorded that someone else made, but I've been told to play one song in this meeting. So that's what's coming up, right? But I'm introducing something alien to these meetings, not alien to established church, but I want to tell you what the whole thing's about. The primary way of worshipping God is stand upon the righteousness of God. When you stand upon the righteousness of God, you believe that Christ died for you, that you're righteous, and then you can do an action that goes with that thing that you believe. The action is, I'm not going to try to get my own righteousness. No, I'm already righteous. You refuse to listen to Satan, and you carry on doing what you're doing in the day. You do an action, right? The secondary type of worship, which is singing a song of praise towards God, works the same way. I'm telling you that you have a desire in your spirit to do it. And that is not me saying you should. I'm just telling you about you, right? You can then, if you want, make some moves regarding what you do to walk according to that thing. It's the same thing, okay? So I want to tell you two moves that you can make. It's you can blatantly do it, the secondary type of worship, or you can slightly do it. Blatantly doing it is just singing like a song of praise to God. That's doing it blatantly. But you can do it slightly. And to do it slightly is if a worship song is played in your presence, you can just make a slight move in agreement to the thing going on. So you can say to somebody after hearing it that you like it. Whilst it's playing, you can smile. You can ask for it to be played again. That is like, you don't do any singing or anything, or do any joining or anything, but you make some move in agreement. Now, that is slight compared to blatant, right? But God still sees it, and it's still worship. It's still counted as worship. God doesn't go, you're not singing properly. If you make any sort of move in praising God slightly, he sees it. It's still worship. You know, you're free to do what you want to do. You know, you already do submit to God. He's already pleased. You already have the righteousness of Christ. He's already pleased with you. I'm just telling you about something that your spirit wants to do. You know, and I've been told to play a song in here later, and you can do what you want with it. What I want to say is, if you make any slight moves, that still is this secondary type of worship. And God still sees it, and you can do it towards him. You don't have to do it though. Your spirit already submits to God. Right. So, I'm going to play it, but I have to explain something, and that is where I got it from, and stuff to do with the established church, and I have to address that thing. Okay, so, I have not been able to get a song here, because the only thing outside this meeting is the established church, right? So, I'm not going to train you to know how to play an instrument, sing a song, write a song. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to sing. So where's it going to come from? You know, the only way I could see it is if somebody else does the hard work. Somebody else does some heavy lifting. You know, I've been doing some heavy lifting. Maybe you're speaking. You know, maybe somebody else could do some heavy lifting regarding this thing. But that would mean that do I have to take it from the established church? And how's that going to work? So this is what I want to say. And this is what I thought was the way to do it. But, right. The established church is the established church. In the way that I've referred to the last 6 months, because it does not stand properly on the gospel. It does not stand properly on the meat of the gospel, okay? The people that lead the established church are the core of the established church. They're the ones that set the false doctrine and stuff, right? I do not agree with them, and I don't want anything from them. I don't like what they say. I just don't agree with them, right? Now, in the past, in Israel, there's 12 different tribes of Israel, and kings come and went, good kings, bad kings. But there was a tribe called the Levites, and when they were the ones in charge of the worship. And it didn't matter which kings come and went, the Levites always did the worship. They were like, I'll read the thing that I found, apparently by accident the other day, but hopefully. Right, I think this is it. Maybe what Chronicles said, and he appointed according to the order of David his father the courses of the priests to their service and the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests as the duty of every day required. What that means is David set priests to do their job in the temple, and he said you have a Levites to be in charge of worship and to help the priests, right? So the analogy is that the priests in the established church, the leaders, they have their job. This says that the people in charge of the worship were different than the leaders, and they were meant to help the leaders. So the way that I see it in the established church is the established church because the core, you're the leaders, preach something false, right? Now, as far as I'm concerned, it seems to me, the church of Christ, God still gets his worship. If men lead the established church falsely. God doesn't lose out on worship. He still has his worship. He still gives songs to people. And they can still be in those places. And I can still take one of their songs that God gave them. And I don't take anything from the established church. Because they are separate than the leaders. I do not want anything from the leaders of the established church. That the gospel that they preach is false. But God doesn't lose out on his worship. And God has given some people in those churches that I don't agree with, who are not part of the core of the church, songs. He doesn't lose out on worship. Why should God lose out on worship? And the only way worship's going to happen here is if one of those songs that God's given to somebody in the established church finds its way in. And I'm not meant to take it by Satan because it's from the established church. No. I don't agree with the established church for what it is, and that is the core leaders. And these apparent Levites, they're not the same as the leaders of the established church. Therefore, God, give one of them a song and I can play them here, and I don't.